That's very good. Well, in, let's do 23 this morning.
Chapter 23.
Chapter 23 of Matthew, the book of Matthew. Jesus is out on his routes talking to folks. It says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not you after their works, for they say and do not." This has been a scary kind of a script, one of those, if you're any kind of a teacher or you're preaching or anything like that, you always hear that and you wonder, you know, I hope I'm not guilty of that. Well, I know I'm guilty of that.
Well, this is what you found out yesterday.
Yeah, maybe that's why I was led to this. Yeah. But I also know that once I recognize it, it takes about 2 seconds to repent of it and realize the sacrifice is complete in all arenas. And by the apprehension of the finished work of Christ, I would be remiss to feel an ounce of guilt. If I don't see that, I should feel a lot of guilt. But if you understand what Christ has done, then you see it and you walk away from it. There's not even any remorse. There's nothing. And that's the majesty of his completed work, is it so takes care of every sin that does so easily beset you. It's so complete that you cannot feel anything about it once you've recognized it and turned from it. That's the power of his blood. The power is total. And if you're wallowing in any aspect of yourself, then there's something you haven't apprehended. You haven't seen it clearly. And it's worth taking the time to go talk to somebody about it, if nothing else, if you can't get a hold of it yourself. But that it is complete. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens of grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their own fingers. And the burdens are typically of what you have to do to be pleasing to God or acceptable to God. It's the rules and the laws. And they're not bad rules and laws, but they're not, for us, they're not a burden because of us laying our burdens upon Christ. If we have a burden, it's that one, is to unload what we're carrying and give to him. And many of us don't want to do that. Many would rather carry their own burdens. There's righteousness in carrying a burden. There's righteousness in your pitifulness. There's righteousness in your whatever you are. But those burdens don't have to be carried. Freedom is what God would have you be. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. Everybody know what a phylactery is in here? You know what little reminders.
It's a big sign you put on yourself that says, "Look at me, I'm observing the law."
Yeah. I am a righteous and holy person. You will notice just by my very appearance. And phylacteries are reminders for the self of how to perform.
Yeah.
those guys do that all the time. And they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. We like that too, the best seats. We don't like it when anybody gets in our seat either. Hey, I sit there. I have to do that every once in a while at my house. Somebody new comes in and they don't know that I sit right in the corner there. I just have to tell them, you know, hey, you can't sit there. That's the chief seat, and that's where I sit. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, I just have to quietly let them sit there.
I thought you were going to say, well, I'm in our pit.
Oh, no. Well, no, and I'm also a respecter of persons. It matters who it is, you know. Nothing but sin. And you just hate it when you find that stuff in you, you know. You've read about it, and there it is, and here you are doing it, and you go, oh, shit. Anyway. But that helps identify who we're talking about. And the greetings in the markets, and to be called rabbi, in that one. But be not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be you called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. That is actually a door to freedom right there. To read that, the flesh says, oh gosh, I got to be a servant to be great. I do want to be great, but I don't want to be a servant. I want to be served. That will show that I'm great. That's how flesh would take it. But in the spirit, when you understand that to be a servant is to be the greatest, you can't hear that as a benefit to you, but you do hear it as is the greatest thing that you can do is to give. And to find a place where your giving is acceptable, received. Because man is worthless if he's not giving. And he can deal with that for a little while, but after a while, you just you consume yourself in your, you know, just laying around thinking you're something. But to find the place to where you're able to serve and to give, there's great contentment and great peace in that. And that's what everyone's really seeking after. And if you humble yourself, it says, whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. I know we've all experienced that. I again went through some of that yesterday in that work thing. Finding there for a minute I was exalting myself because we were getting such a great amount of work done in a short time. And I was thinking, oh boy, aren't we something, you know? And I caught that thought and couldn't turn fast enough. The thing I hate the most is being knocked off the hill because I've set myself up there, and God having to deal with me in that respect. You just don't want to be lifting yourself up, setting yourself up. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Woe unto you, blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Now, blind Pharisees, cleanse thou first which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean alone, clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Anybody convicted by any of this?
What is swear by?
Put your trust in, believe in, give it importance. Each one of these are a contrast of showing, you know, like the one about the temple and the gold. Whosoever shall swear by the altar is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that upon it he is guilty. That's talking about for whether is greater the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold. It's what you really think is important. You know, we mouth the right words sometimes about what's important, but then the way we live our life shows what we really think is important. And that, and a lot of that is how this strikes me, is it divides you into pieces. And you say one thing, but you do something else. And we're all guilty of that. We all would tell other people how to behave and how to act.
Yeah, like the thing about the temple and the gold. You can say that religion and God and Christianity and all, you can say that that's important. But if you watch, if people watch you, that you just say that it really is important. That what is important to you is money. Gain, acquisition, whatever it might be. That's the explanation of that one. And all of them are the same. It's like you say this, but this is real. You may even believe that this is true, but this is what's really true. And that's why he's saying you hypocrites.
It's a hypocrite.
It's the leaven of the Pharisees.
Right.
The outside and the inside don't match. Every one of these is about the outside of the cup, the inside of the cup, the outside of the sepulcher, the inside. It's all
the same thing.
What's really going on? And you don't know what's really going on until you're brought to your knees and forced to repent.
Exactly. That's why if you're walking around pretending to be something you're not, then you're in darkness. You're in the gray never land, and God can't even touch you there.
It's too easy to think of these. When you talk about the Pharisees, it's too easy to think of the Pharisees as cartoons. And they are evil people who are purposely setting about to do evil things. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is people who think. The Pharisees thought that they were doing the right thing.
Yeah.
They believed that they were doing the work of God and that they were right.
That's right.
That's the dangerous
thing. Until Christ came along and revealed and opened it. And then they had no more cloak for their sin. They had no personal cloak. Their eyes were opened, and then they saw. That's why they hated him. He exposed them for what they were. And they were the righteous. They were the ones who leading the people. And they, like you say, they really thought they were doing the right thing. Just like I believe televangelists. You know, they have convinced themselves completely that what they're doing is the right thing, and, you know, they should get a lot of money for it. That's how God proves himself. I mean, it's a deception. The nature of deception is that you believe it. And again, We only look at them to see where we're walking in deception. We don't, you know, we're not their judge.
We don't really believe that the serpent is the most subtle of all creatures. We don't really believe that the whole world lies in deception.
Yeah.
We don't believe that we're deceived.
That's what deception is all about. It's,
yeah, it works. It wouldn't be a deception.
It wouldn't be called deception.
If I never see Burnett again, I'll still always remember that he made this analogy that he's like, every day I boot up like a computer.
Into himself.
Yeah, he's a program.
Right. Yeah. Boot yourself up. Take all, everything you've learned all your life to make this day count. Well, that's the point here. Scribes, hypocrites, I could read a whole bunch more, and it's just, and every one of them cut you in two. And if you don't see it, then the reading means nothing. But if you understand that you are the scribe and the Pharisee and the hypocrite, then the reading exposes that inner being. And again, the point is that you can see it and repent. That's why I've said so many times, it's if you don't get out there with exactly who you are, you won't be able to repent. You won't see that you are a Pharisee, because you'll always be back hiding, judging, and you know, sitting in the high seat, and you'll never have anything to repent, because it's all silent. It's darkness. You're living in darkness, and you think your darkness is light, because your judgments to you are correct. But that's darkness, and how great is that darkness? But I say, get out there, expose who you really are to yourself, mostly. And then you can turn, and you will repent, because you have been apprehended by the sacrifice. I mean, that's already happened, and you've been told, and you know it. And so there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's how we walk. And we walk in this continual state. Every day we have to go through the same thing. We don't live on yesterday's manna.
What you just said reminded me that my lifelong fear is that at the moment that I'm dying, that I will realize what you just said.
Yeah.
And the two best visualizations of that I've seen ever were The Sixth Sense and The Matrix. And in both of those, sitting there watching both of those films, when the awareness came over me that Bruce Willis was dead,
yeah,
I mean, it was like a paradigm shift. And the same thing in The Matrix, when that character realizes that his reality is not reality,
yeah,
he starts to throw up.
Yeah,
I mean, what you're saying is not just words.
Right.
It's not just words, and the vast majority of people that have ever lived and are living and will live do not hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
The deception has totally engulfed them, and these words aren't life to them.
And we are the most fortunate people on the face of the earth to know that what you're saying, first of all, to be saying it, second of all, to be hearing it, and third of all, to know it's true.
Yeah.
Because it's not just words.
You made me think when you said the thief on the cross. What a precious understanding that might be. The thief on the cross. What was he a thief? Why was he a thief? Why not a murderer or something? He was a thief because he had stolen his entire life, you know. And yet, that thief, in that last moment, because he recognized, and hopefully you'll recognize before your last breath, because at the last breath you can repent, because you see. That's what's so amazing about this stuff. It's all about what you see, because once you see it, and it's obvious that it's not with the carnal eyes that you see, but that perception enlivens and awakens you to reality, and once that happens, you grasp it. You say, amen. You
remember,
agree.
Remember the scripture why we did the hot seats that we did
about
experience the judgment today,
right,
rather than
later experience. Right. And now what you just said is absolutely true. Experience the fact that you are the thief on the cross now.
No.
Rather than a year from now or 20 years from now or whatever the hell you take your last breath.
Yeah.
When it may be too late. Right. And the opportunity for us is every moment now.
Okay.
Not...
You don't... Yeah. Waiting is...
May well be too late.
I was preaching to my kids the other day, Julie in particular. She's real fun because she is out there. You know, she says what she thinks, you know. And that was a big part of... I was trying to press upon her that walking in this understanding your entire life is better than waiting until it's over and then grasping it at the last minute. I mean, you miss out on so much by thinking it's better to wait before I lay my life down, wait before I trust in God, wait before I believe that He is able to provide for me. I mean, that's just so... And I know that's what I personally did. I wasn't going to walk with God or believe until I, you know, tried it myself, which I guess everybody has to do anyway. But if you hear it right, you shortcut it. You can get to that end point quicker and not waste the substance of your soul in foolishness forever. And hopefully, that's where we're at. We're able to eat meat at the table. We're not just drinking milk anymore. We're weaned from the breast. And we're able to, in life, grasp those things that God has placed on our table and consume them. Milk is just when you learn to rely on what somebody else has been revealed, and that then they digest it and give it to you, and it's milk. Well, I believe in the very first reading, the very first part of this, Jesus is saying, call no man master. And, he's trying to put you in that place. Be not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and you are all brethren, or you are brethren. Call no man your father upon the earth. He's trying to move you into the realm of a consuming spirit as you go. You are fully prepared. You know, it doesn't take 20, 30 years like we've been hanging around. It takes that long. It takes the moment you go, aha, and you grow up. You grow right up into Him, and you're no longer little children. And that's the hope, because then when you're in that position, you're able to feed. And that's one of the dangers I've thought about this community, is we get taught so much that we never think we're ready to move on to the giving place. But that's not the case. I mean, it doesn't take... There have been tribes of people I remember reading about that had one scripture of the gospel out of John, just one slice, and they cherished and understood it. It was a significant one. I can't remember the exact, but it was enough to, you know, to feed, and it transformed this entire community into believers, just because they understood one small part of Scripture, and the whole tribe became converted.
Yeah, it just shows that these are words about the Word, and not
this. Amen.
Is not the Word. The Word is Christ in us.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what they understood.
Once you understand that, yeah. And so we're way overfed. I mean, we're wallowing in it.
Remember that story about the guy that builds the barns?
Yeah.
And he's talking about how he's going to fill it up with grain and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The angel appears to him and says, you fool, your life is required
to say.
Yeah. I was reminded of that by what you were talking about, well, I'll just wait.
Yeah.
And I'll lay down my life later.
Yeah. I know it's a good thing.
You know, we're talking last night about how, okay, well, Saturday's Purim and we'll meet at 2 o'clock and blah. Well,
yeah.
We may never see Saturday.
Yeah.
This morning may be it.
That's right.
There's no guarantee.
You know, in those words, everybody kind of sloughs that off.
Attention.
Yeah. Nah.
I had a dream this morning. I woke up scared to death at 3:30 this morning. I had a dream last night. I walked out in front of the office and looked up, and the moon was exploding.
That was a dream? Didn't really happen. Yeah.
Yeah, I woke up this morning wondering, was that a dream or did it really
happen? You go out and look, yeah. What is... Yeah.
Think whatever you want. Laugh as much as you want.
It's rolling up.
Stuff. Ask Crystal. Yeah. I'm telling you.
In the twinkling of an eye.
You got 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, and it takes the twinkle of an eye to be there, too. That's the... It does not take 5 more years. Another morning at the lair.
You may not have another morning.
Yeah.
That's
what it's...
Think Ollie's always going to be here, and in a while will be lunch, and then we'll do this. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. But if you see that there's nothing more to do, it doesn't matter if there's any time left.
If you see that, you don't even have to talk about it. The question is, do you see that?
And not only, it's do you see it, but then do you take it? Do you receive it? Because the hypocrite sees it.
And tells everybody about
and
it.
And tells everybody, right. But he himself has not devoured it, consumed it. And so we're just mouthing these words.
That's this morning's reading.
Yeah, that's horrible. Just the thought that you might be that person. Oh, I do understand it perfectly, and let me tell you about it, because I know these things, and I'm going to give these wonderful jewels to you. And when I myself have not partaken. That's why when you're teaching it, you know, Ollie said, just teach on the things you know. Don't teach on stuff you don't know. You know, that's stupid. But if you haven't apprehended or seen it or experienced it, why would you tell someone else? Because you're a hypocrite and a blind guide and trying to get away with something, I guess. So the only people Jesus ever railed upon were the hypocrites, because hypocrites cannot make the leap. They can't cross from death to life. So that's our message this morning. See where you're a hypocrite. It's not if. Look at it where it is. Be what you are so that you can repent of your foolishness.
There's no if involved.
No.
In view of the fact that you are.
Since ice. Consume the sacrifice. That's what's good about Passover is in the Seder group. The Seder group is the size to where the sacrifice can be consumed completely. Nothing left over. Nothing left for the morning. And that's what a group like this is. This is like a Seder group. And we're consuming the sacrifice right now. And we want all of it. Nothing left over. Because it's all or nothing. It's not. We don't refrigerate the leftovers. Okay? Can everybody say okay? Oh, it's amen. Amen.
Yum on.
Go ye and do likewise.